Welcome to Overwhelming Joy. Are you glowing, growing, or don't know where you're going? Well, you've come to the right place. Together as daughters of the King of Kings, our highest privilege is to faithfully commune with God and humbly walk in obedience to His truth as He reveals Himself to us in His Word. I'm Paulette, and thank you for joining me today. Pull up your chair, Bible, and journal, and pour yourself a cup of joy. Welcome to Midweek Motivation. Today we are discussing God is gracious. Words from the song. Marvelous grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt. Yonder on Calvary's mount outpoured, there where the blood of the Lamb was split. Sing with me. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. Dark is the stain that we cannot hide. What can avail to wash it away? Look, there is flowing a crimson tide, whiter than snow you may be today. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. Marvelous, infinite, matchless grace, freely bestowed on all who believe, all who are longing to see His face with you this moment, His grace receive. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. I don't know if you've heard that before, but I remember that song growing up. I loved the idea. Of course, I wish I could have been singing it in three-part harmony. I can hear it. But women would be like, grace, grace, God's grace. And the men could sing, marvelous grace, infinite grace. And so you're singing at the same time. Anyway, it's just a wonderful memory. But when I looked at God is gracious, that's the first thing I thought of. You know, there's so much power to memorizing scripture, memorizing songs. And so just reading it in preparation to speak on God is gracious, that the Holy Spirit just revealed that song to me. Grace, grace, God's grace. So remind yourself that what you are filling your mind or your children's mind with now, God will use to come back to them later, which is why scripture memory or song memory is so important to us. It's how the Holy Spirit will use it to remind us, and we can use God's word within us against temptations, especially by Satan, which is what Jesus used. But let's talk about grace beyond just singing about it. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 15. Let's start in verse 9 through 11. This is, of course, Paul talking. For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God, because that's what he was saved out of. Saul was persecuting the church. But, this is 15 verse 10, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me was not in vain. Oh, the contrary. I worked hard. It was not enough, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was or I or they, so we preach, and so you believed. So basically what he is professing is, he was a miserable person, persecuting, killing people that believed in God. And then on that road to Damascus, God transformed him and turned him from that into one of a very, very useful preacher who, even through persecution and turmoil and trials and tribulations, still devoted himself to God and leading others to God. What an example of grace. What an example of grace. And this story shows us three simple ideas about God's grace and the truth of it that should be so affirming, and as we reflect on it, reaffirming to us. So this is from Charles Swindoll. It's called By Grace. First and foremost, God does what he does by his grace. Paul deserved judgment, the severest kind, possibly even death, but instead God gave him grace. And Paul comments on that I don't deserve it. I am not worthy. In fact, I'm the least worthy person. That is truth. Paul recognized that he was so completely devoid of any type of spiritual life before. He had no interest in the true things of God, but he aggressively worked against Christians. But God still saw him, sought him, wanted him, struck him blind, Acts 9, and used him. So first and foremost, it is only by God's grace that any of us have seen the light to come to the Lord and accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, because out of that, he wants to use us. Second, each of us is what we are by God's grace. Notice Paul's words, but whatever I am now, it is all because God. He poured out his favor on me. In a world of high-powered self-achievement and self-help books and personal accomplishments, we are selfish kingdom building if we think it's anything we are doing. God's grace gives a new message. How many people who reach the pinnacle of success and are interviewed say, it is only by the grace of God that I did any of this? We're so impressed by men and women and their achievements and their accomplishments. But Paul says, don't be oppressed. Don't be impressed by anything but the grace of God, that our only hope is in God's grace. And third, we should let others be what they are by God's grace. The apostle says, it makes no difference whether I preach or they preach. It's just the message that matters. So Paul was honest enough to say, it'll get done. God's work will get done. God's kingdom building will be accomplished. I just have the privilege to participate in it, but it's not because of me. He didn't need me. He sought me, I accepted, and I'm willing to be used by him. So Paul confronted error when necessary, only for the sake of the gospel, but he did not set himself up like on a stage as the perfect Christian preacher or minister. And we don't need to try to put ourselves up on I need to be in this perfect believer mold. Absolutely not. Jesus spoke of an abundant life characterized by freedom from God's grace. We are all uniquely called, all uniquely used, all for unique reasons, no one better than the other. It's just that we walk in his abundant grace, only for the purpose he has set for us to walk, only for the ways that he wants us to walk it. Many people by Satan are lured into the lies of our flaws and our failures that mar our lives to ever be used by God. Those are lies. Christians should think that God operates in a holy, just, merciful, good, loving, gracious way. We will learn that he is faithful, he is patient, he is truthful, he is wise. So if God can operate in those attributes and characteristics, then he is satisfied with Jesus' death for sin to save, renew, and clean any and all of us to be used in whatever purpose he has for us. We are women of God, and our life should be lived for him. Guilt should be gone. Our insecurities swept away. Our anxiety died for, nailed to the cross. We should walk in the grace of God. We should not get ahead of ourselves, but we should get a hold of ourselves. I'm going to repeat that. We shouldn't get ahead of ourselves, but we should get a hold of ourselves. And that's just another one of those sayings that I have to tell myself. Because overthinking is under trusting. I've said that before. And now I'm sharing this one. Get a hold of yourself and don't get ahead of God. Because my nature is let's make lists. Let's figure this out. Let's not just sit here and rest. Let's have a plan, like a 5-year plan, 3-year plan for sure, a 1-year plan for sure. And God is saying, okay, so then if you're going to get ahead of me, then I'm going to have to do something to get a hold of you. So what I've realized is my control needs to just be on self-discipline. If I just worry about controlling my self-discipline, then I have a whole lot less that my mind wants to think about controlling. I'm going to give God the timeline. I'm going to give God my temptations to get out ahead, to be selfish. I'm going to surrender to Him, and I'm going to worry only about myself being disciplined, my mind, my heart, my soul. That's why I journal. That's why I verse map. That's why I read and study. That's why I talk on this podcast, because the one thing I can control is the level of myself in discipline to God. And the more I discipline myself, the more I crave Him, and the more I delight in Him, and the more peace I have from Him, because He is so gracious to give it. That's the thing. The more we do, the more gracious we receive, because it's His perfect plan. If your plan's not working for you, why don't you try God's plan? I've tried my plan before. It doesn't work. It only brings on more anxiety and more worry and more distress and more overwhelmingness of the wrong kind. Let's look at Psalm 67:1. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make His face to shine upon us, that Your way may be known on earth, Your saving power among all nations. Let the people praise You, O God. Let all the people praise You. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For You judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon earth. Let the peoples praise You, O God. Let all the peoples praise You. So here's what He's saying. By faith, walk with God and receive His blessing and evangelize. Let it be known. Praise Him. Sing. Be full of joy. Be reverent. Be bold. Walk in Your righteousness and share it with others. Tell them, this is how you live in abundance within the wilderness seasons of your life or in the wonderful seasons of your life. God is good. Let's look at Psalm 68, verses 9 through 11. Reign in abundance, O God. Your flock is found. It's dwelling in it. In Your goodness, O God, You provide for the needy. The Lord gives the word, and the women who announce the news are a great host. Be a woman who announces the great news. Be a righteous, glad, filled, overjoyous, abundant peace, faithful, steadfast woman for the Lord. Be joyous. Sing. Fear Him. And surrender a timeline. And be okay to know that His abundant inheritance is waiting for you sometime. Don't keep score. Don't try to earn His favor. I'm going to talk about that a little bit more when we get to God is patient, so I don't want to give too much away. But it's so interesting in the Bible how it tells you cannot earn God's favor, but He favors the righteous. So you're like, does that even make sense? Oh, it does. And it's going to come back to play when He's teaching us patience, because God is patient. And that's the thing. He never asks for us to have a characteristic or an attribute he does not always hold. And he just doesn't hold some of it. He holds the maximum amount, the perfect amount, and we can never have that much. But he doesn't ask you to be patient without being patient himself. He doesn't ask you to be gracious without being gracious himself. So the whole idea to me is to remind myself that he never asks for more than he has given, and that by him asking it, he is only trying to help me achieve a more faithful, righteous way, which is what he wants for us. And that all I then can do with that is show others. Show others that there's a way. Let's look at James chapter 4. This whole chapter is about a warning against worldliness, which is what we're trying to do. Walk more the holy way than the human way we were born with. So let's look at James 4 verse 6. But he gives more grace. Therefore it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Let's back up a verse. He yearns jealously over the Spirit that he has made to dwell in us. So if you think about that, God wants us, he wants a personal relationship with us. He wants a powerful personal friendship with us. He wants us to be steadfast only to him. And so he says he's jealous over our spirit. He doesn't want anything else dwelling in us or us dwelling on anything else but him. And then therefore he gives more grace to those who are humble. Let's look at James 4, verse 7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And one way I feel we can resist the devil is to take your feels to the feel wheel and then take those directly to God and submit them to God and resist the devil trying to control you with anxiety and fear and depression and struggle and doubt and anger. And he will flee if you take it to God. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Verse 8. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded, which we all are double-minded. We're going back and forth between self and God, self and God, self and God. Be wretched and mourn and weep. And then let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. So don't seek what the world has as fun. That is folly. We must humble ourselves before the Lord, and only in that way will we be exalted. He is so gracious to us. He is so gracious. Remember what graciousness is. Receiving something we did not deserve. And the death on the cross by his son is the most abundantly gracious thing we will ever be offered. Because our Heavenly Father gave the prodigal son a way to return, and he gives each of us a way to return. And that return was giving his own son as the blood sacrifice offering for us. Blessed are the poor in spirit, those who mourn, the meek, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the merciful, the pure in heart, the peacemakers, those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Theirs is the kingdom. Theirs is the life abundant. Do you understand that that is poverty of spirit? We are blessed when we are poor in spirit, meaning that we are merciful, pure, peaceful, faithful, loving, good. That God gives grace to those who embrace that abundant life. He gives unmerited favor. He teaches us and strengthens us in our weakness. That is what he's asking. He is saying, do you recognize my holiness? Do you recognize you have no strength on your own? Do you recognize your strength is in me? That I, the God of grace, my Son of grace, the Spirit of grace, is the gracious gift, that I am the gracious gift giver, He gives the spirit of wisdom and understanding. He gives the spirit of counsel and might. He gives the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, Isaiah 11:2. And all of these are lavish gifts of grace, and we should use them as we receive them, 1 Peter 4:10, to serve one another. He doesn't just give them to us to make us happy. He gives them to us like he converted Saul to Paul, to use Paul to save so many others. So the gracious gifts he has given you, stop and think about them. Are you using them back for him? How are you using your talents? How are you using your time? How are you using your resources? Are you being gracious? What is the will of God for your life? That you may have a Christian life and that you may have it abundantly, that you may show others the example of walking the narrow path, that you can show others that you have a daily gracious God, that you can show others that you have a choice to be daily strengthened by that God, that you have a choice that you can live holy, even as a human, that you can strive to live a holy life, that you put God first, that you are in his word, that you are reading his word, you are seeking the truths of his word, and you are simply seeking to walk those truths out. If we want to look like Christ, we must walk as he walked. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your grace. What you have given us that we do not deserve. Thank you, God, for your mercy that we don't receive what we do deserve. Thank you, God, for your holiness that you know what we need sufficiently, what we can have abundantly, and that the inheritance you hold for us and how everything is aligned for your purposes. Thank you for your love beyond measure. Thank you for your goodness that we can't even imagine. Thank you for your justness that reminds us that you are a jealous God and that we should fear you. May we walk in the ways of your Son Jesus by reading and studying his word. May we walk those ways out and be bold enough to let others see us. May we be a willing vessel to nourish our own spiritual life first, and that we may be used by you to nourish the spiritual lives of others. May we delight ourselves in your instruction. May we love and long to learn your truth. We love you so. Holy Spirit, you are my best friend. Thank you for sending your Son, Jesus, and it is in his name we pray. Amen.
May we all continue in pursuit of more of God's presence in our lives. With God, we have the power to shift our perspective from what I am dwelling on to who I am dwelling in. I'm Paulette. Join me next time at my table for more overwhelming joy.